And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, God's prophetic word is so incredible. And there's a verse in the book of Revelation I want to refer to today because it means so much to us in our future. It says in Revelation 9:20, and by the way, it's talking about the plagues that God sends to the inhabitants of planet Earth that have rejected him in the last days. Horrible diseases, starvation, famines, pestilences. I mean, some terrible things occur on this planet. Earthquakes, wars. And many people are killed and die. I mean, the sea turns blood red and people's eyeballs melt in their sockets and all kinds of things are happening with these plagues. And it says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Idols, the works of their hands. That's part of the worship of devils, according to the Bible here. And the book of Revelation says this worship will be rampant in the last days, just before Christ comes again. And people will worship devils by creating idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. A lot of people say, are you talking there about little statues? Like the little Buddhas and the little Hindu gods and goddesses, little statuettes of them. Some people say, well, is it the statues of Mary and Joseph in Catholic churches and so forth? Friends, let me tell you something. There are entire buildings, gigantic skyscrapers, monuments, pyramids, all kinds of illuminist architecture that's designed in certain shapes and configurations so that they act as idols of magic and sorcery and witchcraft today. That's what I expose in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Across this globe, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood and, yes, plastic and glass and steel. 875 photos in my book, Mysterious Monuments, document this architectural colossus that has bloomed, you might say, exploded across the face of this planet. And they're habitats of devils. That's right. The Washington Monument is a habitat of devils. The Statue of Liberty, a habitat of devils. Their unity churches, even the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., is a habitat of devils with its gargoyles and horned devil statues and so forth all along the exterior. And God sends plagues, horrible things to this planet, hoping that men will repent, but so many do not repent of the works of their hands. Now, this kind of idolatry can be traced all the way back to Babylon. In fact, the prophet Daniel talked about it in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Listen to what it says. Then a herald cried aloud. This was in the ancient Sumeria. This is in Babylon. Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Notice that. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Do not Americans do that when they visit New York City and look upon the harbor and see the Statue of Liberty? And we hear on our television set the singers singing, God bless America. And you see these idols? The Washington Monument, the U.S. Capitol building with a goddess atop it? The Statue of Liberty, which is nothing less than a Masonic idol to the great goddess Diana of the Ephesians, exposed as a witchcraft goddess by the Apostle Paul, with her radiant sun crown? Do you not understand what I'm telling you, friends? In a metaphorical sense, we also bow down and worship the images set before us throughout America, throughout the world. Even the Pentagon is designed in its shape to honor the god of war, Mars, the god of the Greeks and the Romans. Buildings, Greek temples, even the New York Stock Exchange is built as a Greek temple. And the great goddess is right up there in the carved in stone in the pediment right above it in the entrance of this great Greek temple of religion on Wall Street and Broad in New York City, where all of the world's money and commerce is headquartered. Idols. And do we not worship at the foot of the Wall Street bankers in America? Of course we do. And I want to tell you something, friends. This Illuminati architecture, and this is the topic I would like to talk about today. This Illuminati architecture is the devil's plan, and I want to tell you what it's all about. You see, Illuminist architecture is a global battleground. It's being built and has been built for hundreds of years across this globe, and now we see the enemy in stone, in glass, in wood, in plastic, in steel, in concrete. John Randolph Price, head of a top New Age organization, which happens to be headquartered here in Austin, Texas, he wrote a book called The Super Beings. He said there is just a small number of people on this planet that are conscious, that have a superior illumination, the Illuminati. In one of his visions, Mr. Price said that he had a dream in which he saw a great goddess at the top of a hill beckoning millions of people to come and worship at her feet. Oh, yes. Just like the Statue of Liberty. Just like the so-called Statue of Freedom atop the U.S. Capitol building. He also wrote a book called The Planetary Commission. He wanted all the world's billions of people to come together as one, become one world, one planet, one people, one destiny. That's the goal of the Illuminati, to stamp out your individuality, to extinguish nationalism and patriotism, and bring all things together as one, as above, so below. In fact, Earth will be just like hell, all one. Now, if you study history and even literature, you will find some writers and others who have been promoting this idea for a long, long time. H.G. Wells, who wrote many fabulous scientific books, or science fiction, I should say, you know, about travel to the moon and the stars. He wrote also The Invisible Man. You may recall that, made into a movie. But he wrote a book also one time called The Open Conspiracy. It was a nonfiction book. He says there is a conspiracy, all right, of the elite of the Illuminati, although he didn't use that word. But it is people who are enlightened, who are illuminated more than their fellow man. They're superior to us in their brain consciousness. They're almost like another species, these God men. And he says they come together, finally, and put an end to all divisions on earth and enforce peace. He says they'll even use an air force to do it. This was written back in the 19th century before they even had the airplane. Their military will be an air force and they will enforce global unity and peace. And Big Brother, of course, will be watching. Although, again, he didn't use the term Big Brother. C.S. Lewis, so celebrated among Christians today, but in fact an occultist and Satanist. C.S. Lewis, the pagan writer in his book Perestroika, said the same thing. Perestroika really means to revise or to repair, to mend the land, to restore it to its former glory before the Noahic flood. Back in the days of the giants, the devils who ruled over this planet at the time, read Genesis 6. And according to C.S. Lewis, I said perestroika, excuse me. That was Gorbachev's term, the same term, because he believed the same thing. But C.S. Lewis, and pardon me again, used the term perelandra. Gorbachev used the Russian version of it. He called it perestroika. And he wrote a book, in fact, about perestroika. The revision of the world, the rebuilding of the world, the regeneration of the world, and the setting up of the perfect utopia of the Illuminati Godmen. And of course, most of us little peons will have to be destroyed because we're unfit, they say. Our karma is not developed properly. We've got to go. C.S. Lewis wrote Perelandra. Gorbachev came up with Perestroika. The Jews, such as Rabbi Michael Lerner, who was Hillary Clinton's rabbi, used the term Tikkun Olam. The occult mission and agenda of the Illuminati is to set up this Perelandra, this Perestroika, this Tikkun Olam, this utopia, this Shangri-La, for the elite, that is. John Randolph Price, in his book, The Super Beings, said the new civilization is almost upon us. And he said to these illumined men, he said to them, he declared, and I'm quoting him from his book, and you can read this, by the way, in my book, Mysterious Monuments. He said to them, you are the master builders of the new civilization. And our work, that is the great work of the Illuminati, shall not be in vain. A new world will be revealed. Now, friends, I'm telling you, they intend to bring about a new world. And the cornerstone of this new world will be their monumental architecture, because it will denote in tangible form that honors and celebrates devil gods and goddesses. It will denote the new religion of the new age, new world order. This is their great work. This is what their labors across the centuries are for. And these people are true believers. They're in pursuance of what they think is an altruistic, worthy objective. They're building for you and your family, whether you want it or not, a new reality, a new utopia. A friend of mine, Michael Hoffman, who wrote the new book, Judaism Discovered, exposing the pillars of Judaism and of Zionism, once warned, the path to hell is trod by the path to utopia. Friends, every person who wishes to build an empire ends up building a death trap for humanity. Every madman or every bright man, every genius leader from Napoleon to Hitler to Stalin, Lenin, all the way back to the Caesars, sought to build this monumental architecture. They ended up massacring thousands, even millions of human beings in wars and bloodshed. Empire builders are bloody killers. And today, America is building a global empire of Zionism. And it will end up the same way. But before it does, some of the most fantastic creations of architecture will come forth. They're already being conceived in the satanic repositories, that is the minds. Men are having visions today, architects and builders, and they're building great skyscrapers and pyramids and obelisks and all manner of satanic habitats and buildings throughout this world today. Who are these people? Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, called the greatest Masonic scholar of the 20th century by the Scottish Rite Journal, the official publication of the Scottish Rite Masons, the largest order of Masons in the world, wrote, "There exists in the world today, and has existed for thousands of years, a body of enlightened human beings united in what might be termed an order of the quest. It is composed of those whose intellectual and spiritual perceptions," wrote Mr. Hall, "have revealed to them that civilization has a secret destiny." Secret destiny. Why don't they make it manifest? Why is it not visible? Well, it is in a way. It's visible in their architecture. You can see it. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can take a picture of it. A lot of people say, "I don't believe in a conspiracy." Oh, I can show it to you in stone, in rock, in glass, in monuments, in idols. Hall also wrote, quote, "Architecture," he said, "has remained a chosen instrument for the perpetuation of the grand design, the building of the perfect world." The perfect world. Perfect for them. Death and suffering and misery for you and me. Now, I want you to understand something, friends. Architecture is destiny. Architecture is prophecy. But it's more than that. It is of a spiritual nature. You say, "Tex, can you prove that?" Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Apostle Paul himself warned something. Read about this now. He said, an idol is nothing in and of itself. It's simply something of wood or metal or stone. In and of itself, it's nothing. It's an inanimate object. It's just matter. But wait, wait. There are devils behind it. Some years ago, there was a fad for what were called cabbage patch dolls. And every doll was just a little different than the one before it. And all the little kids went wild for these cabbage patch dolls. And each one came with a little card, like a little birth certificate. And it had a name. And every doll had its own individual name. And someone wrote to me and said, "Dear Tex, I've just discovered something. My little girl's Cabbage Patch doll is named Kaylee, K-A-L-I. And I was reading this book, Exposing Hinduism, and I found out that one of the major goddesses, the serpent goddess of Hinduism, is named Kali. And my little girl's Cabbage Patch doll is named Kali." Turns out that a great number of these Cabbage Patch dolls had Hindu goddess and god names. How did that happen? A little trick on the kids of America, wasn't it? But a bunch of parents got together and said, we're going to destroy our kids' Cabbage Patch dolls. And I'm not telling you to go out and set fires and burn things. But it's interesting. The story I got, and if it's true, and I believe it, when they threw the Cabbage Patch dolls that had these Hindu names into the fire, voices came up. Voices of agony. Oh, we're burning. Help us. Now, that doesn't sound real. Dolls being burnt, crying out. I wonder. I remember those devils that inhabited that man in the tombs, the Gadarene tombs in the Bible. When Jesus even came close, the man, he was like a madman. They said no one can contain him. He has the strength, probably, it doesn't say, but like of hundreds of men. He was possessed by devils. A legion of devils had possessed this man. A legion. Many devils had possessed him. Even chains couldn't hold him. And he tore off his clothes. He was naked. He was a wild man. And he was just traversing back and forth through the cemetery, through the tombs. And Jesus came by. And a voice came from the man. And it was the devil's voice. Jesus of Nazareth, what do we have to do with you? Why do you torment us before our time? I want you to think about that. The devils are tormented by the very presence of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus and have been born again and the Holy Spirit has come to reside in you, do you not understand the power that is there? Not of you. You're nothing in your flesh, but the Holy Ghost is inside of you. You're the very temple of God. And guess what? The devils know and recognize the Holy Ghost, and they shake and they tremble. You can be a 95-year-old little lady, frail, pale, barely able to move with a cane. But I'm telling you, the biggest magician or shaman or voodoo witch doctor from the swamps of Louisiana, when they come into your presence, if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, they will begin to tremble and shake. They're frightened. How do I know this? It has happened to me repeatedly. I have come in the presence of people possessed by devils, and they're frightened, not of Tex-Mars. I'm a big old fuzzy guy. Wouldn't hurt a flea. I love cats. I love dogs. Love my wife. Love my grandkids, my kids. Hey, I'm not going to hurt anybody. But they are afraid of the truth, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit. And when this demon voice cried out in this man, they said, why have you come to torment us before our time? Oh, they know they have a destiny. Their time is going to be up someday. But it seemed to them that it was a little bit short-lived. You've come too soon. We've got more time before the end. You're tormenting us too early. Even they don't know the day nor the hour, but it seems like they sort of know the season too. In fact, the book of Revelation says the devil in the last days goes about furiously doing his evil work. Why? Because he knows he has but a short time. And these devils knew they had some more time left somehow. And there was Jesus, and they were afraid he was going to destroy them and throw them down into prison, into hell. And they said, don't torment us before our time. Our time's not up. And Jesus said, what is your name? He knew already. He was tormenting him. They said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And they knew he was going to do something, and they were afraid of what he was going to do, and they said to him, Jesus, Lord, please, if you're going to cast us out of this man, don't just send us out into the dry areas. Send us into those pigs over there. There was a big herd of pigs. We want something to possess. Send us into those pigs. And Jesus did it. And they left the man and they entered the pigs. And the pigs, the Bible records, went insane and fled in fear and went over the cliff and perished. Friends, I'm telling you something. Satanic architecture is occupied by devils. Even the people in the Far East and the Oriental religions know. They call it feng shui. Some kind of energy force, they say, occupies architecture. And they would advise you to build your home or your offices or your facility, whatever you're going to build, your building, in such a way that it enhances the energy forces. Oh, yeah, sure. One of the top architects of the last century, an Illuminist, of course, Mr. Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, said this. He said, architecture is the will of the age conceived in spiritual terms. Architecture is the will of the age conceived in spiritual terms. Architecture, strangely enough, possesses a will. Well, only beings, only entities possess a will, have will power. So these buildings, these architectural entities made of stone or glass or wood, possess a spirit. Yes, they do. They do possess a spirit. A lot of people, when they enter a home or enter a place of business, they say, I have a feeling about this place. I don't feel good being here. You know, I believe that's true. I have gone in some people's home, and you know, it's not that they have pictures of Christ or Bible quotes on the wall. It's just you feel good there. You feel the presence of God. I'll tell you why. It's usually because they have the presence of God in them. And that spirit is embodied in their home. Now, I'm not a very mystical person, or at least I used not to be. I think I'm getting more and more mystical. Some people say when you move into a new home or apartment, it's a good idea to ask Jesus to bless that home, or that apartment, that dwelling. Same thing true of your car. Is that magical? No. I think you're just asking God to protect you. Nothing wrong with it. So I want to tell you something, friends. There are holy places on this earth and there are devil places. Get that in your head. There are holy places and there are devil places. Now I don't want you to go around fearful of every building or a house you go in. Remember, the Bible says we're in the world, but not of the world. And we have overcome the world. Don't be too afraid of these places. They need to be afraid of you if you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here is that there is a battle going on today, a battleground. This whole world is a battleground of the Spirit. An occult architecture produced by luminous disciples and true believers has been seated across this globe. And it is the habitat of devils. When we turn in a minute, I'm going to tell you what this means for you and me and what we need to do about it. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy, and I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars. You know, I want to encourage you, if you have not already ordered my new book, Mysterious Monuments, to do so. It will encourage your faith. It will make you understand the fact that we are up against a great force of evil in this world. It confronts us on every side.
The subtitle of this book explains what it's all about. It's the Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. And it is an encyclopedia, 624 pages and 875 photographs. Now, I want to tell you, they're not color photographs, because to offer a book in color with all color photographs would cost us, we'd have to ask probably $90 or $100 for it. And I want to make this book available as to many as we can, but it's on very quality paper. And I believe you can make out the pictures very good. Wonderful pictures in black and white. But 875 photos and illustrations. It tells a story, friends. A powerful set of images here. And I haven't had anybody that wrote me back and told me they were disappointed with this book. We've already sent out thousands of copies. And I want you to have your copy of this amazing book. Now, I spent over 20 years writing this book off and on and off and on, and this research and that research. I'll tell you, I wanted to make this the most powerful book I have ever written. And I believe it is. And you'll be amazed. Mysterious Monuments. But I'll tell you something. I dissolve a lot of the mystery in explaining it. You'll be amazed at what you find in this book. And I want to just be bold about it. You know, sometimes it's just time to be bold. And let me be courageous enough, without bragging, to say there has never been a book published like this ever on the face of the earth. This is an exposé of incredible proportions. And I want you to be a part of this great mission of exposing the darkness of this occult architecture, these occult Masonic, New Age, Illuminati designs and architecture, and even occult places. And you'll understand a lot more about the Bible verses. I'm telling you, this is prophecy in action. And it'll thrill you while it, in a way, is repulsive. It will offend you, some of the architecture, but then you know that God said these things would happen in the last days. And you see the empire of Satan and the Illuminati spread across the globe. And it can't be denied. It's right before our eyes. It's just that no one has taken everything together and connected the dots. But now you have it. In Mysterious Monuments, I believe it's the one book. Now, if you have my other book, the one just before this called Codex Magica, about the secret handshakes, hand signs, symbols, and so forth, of the Illuminati conspirators, it's just as big and just as powerful as this book is. They're companions. They'll sit on your bookshelf, and I'll tell you, they're so heavy they may break your shelf. they're gigantic books of knowledge. Don't put this one in your back vest pocket. Back or vest pockets, friend. It'll break out your thread. I want you to have this book. You've got to have it. Now, $35 is the price of the book. And again, it's worth every cent and much more. Never will you have seen a book like this one. Here's how to order it. $35. Please add $4, just $4 shipping and handling. We have plenty of copies. We've just gone back now for a second printing. So we're going to keep it in stock. And the day we get your order, you know, the next day, if not that day, we start processing it, and it'll be out in just a couple of business days here and on its way to you. So we move as fast as we can. We want you to have this book, Mysterious Monuments. Here's how to get it. Order it. $39 now total, including shipping and handling. Use your Visa card, MasterCard, or Discover, and call us up at Power of Prophecy. Our phone number, toll-free, is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. If you're not receiving our newsletter every month, Flashpoint. It used to be Flashpoint. I keep forgetting. It's now Power of Prophecy. Oh, I'll tell you, the good old days. Well, anyway, it's now retitled Power of Prophecy. It has been for about, 6 or 7 years. That long? 8 years now. Okay. 8 years, Jerry's telling me. Even 9, maybe. Okay, well, whatever. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. You can order Mysterious Monuments, and if I were you, I'd order two copies, because a friend or a pastor, they're going to want it. You're going to have it right there for them. When they look through the pages, they see these pictures, they're going to go, wow, I want this book. And listen, let me give you some advice. Don't let anybody borrow it. They won't return it. They will not return it. They'll love it so much. I mean, they don't really intend to steal it. It's just that they just keep reading it. And every time you ask for it back, they'll say, well, I'm still looking it over. Can you give me another week? Pretty soon, you know, it's their book and not yours. Oh, you don't want that to happen. Order two copies. It'll help you out. All right. To order the book by mail, just write to Power of Prophecy. Send a check or money order or cash for $39 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's the Republic of Texas to those not in the know. But just put TX and that'll get it to us. Ask for Mysterious Monuments, enclosed $39, check, cash, money order, and we'll have it on its way to you. Mysterious Monuments by Tex Mars. And by the way, if you don't know, my name is spelled T-E-X-E. I blame the midwife for that, who put the wrong spelling on the birth certificate. But it's been a conversation starter all these years. I don't mind too much. I sort of like it. Then my last name has two R's in it. Everybody messes up on that too. M-A-R-R-S. If you want to get the book, I guess from one of your local bookstores. The largest book distributor in the world, Ingram, offers it. And you can get it at Barnes & Noble. If it's not on the shelves, you can order it. And then finally, what takes forever, just tell people where to get the book, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcast engineer here. They can go to powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, you can read our article on Mysterious Monuments absolutely free. Powerofprophecy.com. And I was going to say before, when you order the book, we'll send you a free subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, for 6 months, absolutely free. Of course, that same newsletter is for free on our website, powerofprophecy.com. Okay, now let's return to our program today. We're talking about Mysterious Monuments, and specifically, we're looking at the fact that there is a battle going on across this globe, and it has to do with Illuminist architecture that has exploded across this nation, even the whole world. A few years ago, a top architect named John LaBelle was invited to speak at New York's occult organization, the Lucis Trust. And he said about architecture, he said, architecture is the battleground of the spirit. You wouldn't think so. Something made of wood or stone or glass is the battleground of the spirit. But that's what he informed people. He says that architecture can be used as a cultural instrument in world transformation. You can transform the world through architecture. You see, architecture is designed by Illuminist architects in the form of symbols. And a symbol can be used to mesmerize, hypnotize, indoctrinate, propagandize, and capture the souls of men. That's right. Architecture is a battleground of the spirit, says Mr. LaBelle. And it's the will, it expresses the will of the age. If you understand the architecture of a society, a culture, a nation, you'll understand what the people are like in that place. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You go to India and study the temples of the Hindus, you'll then discover what the people of India are like, what their personality is like, what they believe, what they do, their conduct, their behavior. You'll know why in the ancient Hindu culture, when a man died, they built a great pyre and lit the fire and burned his body, and then his wife was expected to jump on the pyre and burn her body too, so she could be with him in the next reincarnation. You say, that's a sick thing, Tex. I know. How do I know this? You can study it through their temples. You can study their architecture. By the way, the Muslims, the spirit that controls Islam is found in the Mosque of Islam. The arch. Mm-hmm. The bulbous-like mosque dome. Oh, there's a meaning behind it. And then there's their symbol inside and over the door. Oh, they have symbols. They have idols. The Muslims say, we're not like the Christians. We despise idolatry. Oh, they have their idols. Don't believe them. Yeah, Muhammad created idols for them. There is the crescent moon and the star. The crescent moon and the star. Uh-huh. Study the ancient pagan religions. You'll know what those mean. And if you get my book, Mysterious Monuments, it'll tell you the meaning of the Islamic crescent moon and star. And did you know that every Muslim is encouraged to go to Mecca in Saudi Arabia, the city of Mecca, on a pilgrimage at least once in their life? And there is a great building called the Kaaba they must visit. And it is designed architecturally in a certain shape. And inside it is a black stone idol that they kiss as they go by, walk by. They honor and adore an idol of a little black stone that they say fell from the heavens. What's that all about? I explain it in my book, Mysterious Monuments. Don't let any Muslims say, we have no idols of stone or wood or glass. Oh, yes, they do. Yes, indeed. Architecture, it reflects the spiritual system which reigns and is dominant in that culture. It has to. And if the architecture is of a satanic spiritual nature, that country will reflect it in its conduct and behavior. And that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Because design of architecture, it's designed to serve the spirit of man. Did you hear what I said? Famous architect talked about that very thing, a man named Louis Kahn. One of the most famous architects in the world today. I have several of his buildings, pictures of them in my book, Mysterious Monuments. One is a medical facility out of San Diego, near the town of La Jolla, California. Its design is inspired by Lao Tzu's Taoism. That's T-A-O-I-S-M. A Chinese philosophy. The yin-yang symbol comes from there. The idea of equilibrium of energy forces. You remember the yin and the yang, don't you? The black and the white divided only by a backwards satanic S. In Kahn's architectural design there of this medical facility near La Jolla, you'll find these concentric circles, sort of like Tibetan mandalas. You'll find the seven chakras of Hinduism reflected as well. And Kahn says, my building serves the spirit. You think it's just for people to go in there and get medical healing. Oh, no. The building in its design is designed to feed your soul. But what kind of poison is it feeding? That's the question. You see, in the Illuminist architectural scheme, architecture is of a design, of a divine or sacred nature. They even talk about sacred architecture. Sacred architecture. Let me tell you what Kahn says. Now remember, this is probably one of the top five architects in the world over the last centuries. He says, quote, and this is from page 44 of my book, Mysterious Monuments. Kahn writes, quote, in the end, the spirit of the building takes over. takes over. He says, a work is made. And when the dust settles, the pyramid, echoing silence of mine, gives the sun its shadow. Not so much gobbledygook. What does it mean? It means the yin-yang aspect is honored. The sun and its shadow. The pyramid and its sun rays. It becomes, said Mr. Khan, a living entity. Yeah, that's right. Architecture, a building, a monument built by an illuminist is like a mystical entity. It's a robot. It's a living being. A robot. It's a bionic entity to them. Do buildings then, do monuments, do these illuminous creations possess occult powers? Can they bewitch or hex people who enter their space, their confines? Again, I ask you the question, dear friends, is there really a basis for the superstition that some call it about haunted houses and buildings? Can evil spirits inhabit matter? Well, there's a lot more evil spirits around today, I'll tell you that much. Just read the book of Revelation. You know, it reveals in the book of Revelation that at a certain time in man's destiny, at a certain time, and I believe we're there, an angel is sent with a key. This is a mystery. Think about it. Ponder this. This angel, this dark angel maybe, is sent with a key to a great pit. And he opens up the pit and the door creaks open and unleashed are 200 million devils in the last days. Now it's bad enough that we've always had demon spirits on this planet, but according to the book of Revelation, there will come a time when God allows for 200 million devils to come up out of the pit. Legion. Many spirits. They're hungry for the souls of men, and they will possess those souls. Isn't that astonishing? The Bible says they have an angel or a being over them. He's like the general in charge. He's like more than a president or prime minister. He is in charge of these 200 million extra devils released on this planet in the last days. And he has a name. Devils have names. What is that name? The Bible says in the Hebrew tongue, his name is Abaddon. And in the Greek tongue or language, his name is Apollyon. What is that? What is the mystery? If these 200 million devils go forth to possess men and buildings and monuments and idol statues, who is the leader over them? Why is his name? I believe it's a code name. Every name has a meaning in the Bible. Every name has a meaning. God has given people names. Did you know when you die, if you're a Christian, you'll go to heaven and God will give you a new name? So I like my name. My name is Jennifer or Sally or Michael. Well, you're going to like God's name a lot better. He knows how to name people. He's going to give you a new name. But devils have names too. They have meaning. They can be interpreted. You've got to understand the codes. Abaddon. Abba means father. Don means Dan. Father Dan. That's the name of the devil. Father Dan. Well, the tribe of Dan was a Jewish tribe, or not Jewish, but Israeli tribe. One of the 12 tribes was led by Dan, whom they call their father. But Dan was not a nice man. He was an evil man. I believe he was possessed by spirits. Now you say, are you saying that one of the tribes of evil was led by an evil man named Dan Tex Mars? Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. The Old Testament says Dan wasn't pleased with the land he was given for his tribe. He was greedy, so he went out and took more, used an army, and he went out and grabbed more land. Knowing how evil he was, they gave him an ensign or a sign, a symbol that symbolized he and his people of his tribe, this Dan of the 12 tribes. And guess what his symbol was, his ensign, his crest. Let's just say his family crest. It was the serpent. He was branded as the serpent by the other leaders of the tribes of Israel. But you know what he said? I will not accept this. He was rebellious. I will not accept being the serpent king. I demand to be recognized as the great eagle. And so he took for his symbol the eagle. Is this Dan not the builder of Illuminati architecture today? And is this these devils, these 200 million devils that Father Dan has released, the spirit of Dan, are they not designing occult places and architecture to this very day? I believe they are. And that's why architecture, Illuminati architecture, is the battleground of the spirit. Now, in the Greek language, the name of this devil leader of the 200 million devils described in the book of Revelation is Apollyon. Now, that's a combination name. Apollo and On is the meaning of it. On is the name of the great god, one of the names of the great Egyptian sun god Osiris. In fact, one of the cities of Egypt was named On, and there's where he had his great habitat. On. Apollo was the son of the great Greek sun god Zeus. Apollo, the sun god, the golden boy, who it was said would someday bring an age of prosperity to the whole world. You know, that's the Antichrist. Apollyon. Apollo, the son, the Antichrist, and his father, Osiris. Father Dan. They're all the same. They have the same spirit. And architecture is the battleground of the spirit. And again, as Mr. Van der Rohe, another Illuminist architect, a famous one in fact, said, architecture reflects the will of the age conceived in spiritual terms. The Germans, I'm not German, but they have a word I like. It's the will of the age. It's what the people are into. It's what their souls are possessed of and are consumed with and obsessed with. It's what occupies their minds and their hearts and their activities. It's called Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. It's sort of like the spirit of man. If a man is a godly person, he has a certain spirit about him. If a woman is a godly woman, you can recognize that. You can feel that. You know she's a woman of virtue and honor. She possesses this certain spirit, the zeitgeist. But the zeitgeist is more than just one person, a man or a woman. It's the spirit of the community. Adolf Hitler, of course, developed a certain zeitgeist for the German community, the people, the Volk. Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky attempted to develop a certain zeitgeist or spirit of the age. And in America today, the flow of civilization, now listen to what I'm saying, friends, the flow of American civilization beams out around this globe because we are the exemplar for the whole world. And this flow of American civilization this zeitgeist, the spirit of the age emanating from America and possessing the whole world and all of the nations, is moving rapidly toward a dark abyss, favoring what? Well, the grotesque, the fiendish, the malevolent, the sadistic, the cruel, the sexually explicit, the corrupt, the bloody, the imperialistic. That's the spirit of America. You can see it in our cartoons for kids. You see it in our movies, on television. You see it in the spirit of our politicians. A spirit of death, of war, of bloodshed, of grand ambition for world power. This is the whole planet's collective spirit. It dominates this horrible, violent, depraved spirit of the age. And that's what architecture is all about. And architecture, as I say in my book, Mysterious Monuments, is theater. It's dark theater because of the illuminous control of architecture today. I say, and I want to quote myself here, because it's a powerful concept. Illuminous architecture is a global psychodrama of open-air witchcraft rituals. When you come upon an obelisk, a pyramid, a pentagon, a pentagram, a star, all manner of other occult architecture, a goddess statue or whatever, What you're facing, what you're encountering is a talisman, a magic idol. And it is usually set up and designed in such a way to honor certain energy ley lines, astrologically, numerologically on this earth, to correlate or correspond with heavenly powers, the sun, the moon, the stars. I know it sounds fantastic, but it's true. And so there's a widespread distribution across this planet of illuminist architecture, art, and design that is heavy laden in satanic meaning, permeated with occult symbology. And thus the Brotherhood of the Illuminati, led by Satan and his visionary angels, and they're smart, they're pretty good architects, they know how to use buildings and architecture to dredge up the spirit of the age, this violent and depraved psychological drama, so that the whole world becomes a dark theater of the weird and evil. Witchcraft rituals. And then what they call the group mind of the masses is developed. And as I've just quoted a number of architects, the world is transformed through the spirit of the age, and the hearts of men are shaped toward obeying Satan's demands and commands. This is Tex Mars. We've been looking at Illuminati architecture as global battleground. Always remember, though, friends, we are the overcomers. We overcome. How do we do it? With the power of our testimony, it says in the book of Revelation, and the blood of the Lamb. Through Christ, we will overcome. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week, my friends, during this same time, and discover the power of prophecy.